Altos, remember, this is the one that does not go low. And now here we go. And.
Paul Caldwell is the artistic director of the Seattle Women's Chorus and the Seattle Men's Chorus. He's standing at a podium in the basement of a church, practicing with the women's chorus for a performance that's happening later this month. The fact that he's here conducting with his right arm is incredible, given what happened to him almost a year ago. On April 3rd of 2016, Paul was living in Chicago. He was planning his move to Seattle to take the job he has now. He was walking home to his apartment after having dinner with his best friend, the kind of friend that makes you homemade chicken pot pie. As Paul was crossing the street, he was struck by a speeding car. Arms and legs that worked just a few moments before were now a tangle of broken bones, skin, and blood. He remembers everything, including what he was carrying, a beautiful leather satchel
that someone had made for me 20 years earlier, and I had carried my sheet music in it every day to work for years. And when the impact happened, the satchel actually flew up and hit me in the face. But when my face went down onto the pavement, the satchel was actually between my face and the asphalt. So the buckle on the satchel broke my nose and there was a pretty big cut. But that's the thing that saved me, the fact that my head didn't actually impact the pavement. My arm did and was pretty badly mangled. My foot was caught in the wheel well of the car and went around three times. The rear wheel ran over my left arm. It miraculously didn't break. It was the right arm that hit the pavement that was messed up so badly.
And what did the driver do?
He sped away. I went to a hospital that night. I was received through the emergency room. I was there for many hours. They sent me to surgery. The bones were all sticking out. As a matter of fact, the arm, they couldn't do anything for it because there's this thing that is called road rash that I never heard of, and that means that the tissue from the arm had been stripped away, the muscle and the skin, to the point that they couldn't create a surgical closure. So all they could do was immobilize it and wait for 3 weeks until they could hopefully do reconstructive surgery, which enough tissue had regenerated by that time that they were able to. But I remember going into the first surgery for the arm not knowing, like there was a question mark. When we take the dressing off, will we be able to do the surgery or will we not? We don't know. There's a scar on my left arm, which is the one that wasn't broken, but I have photographs of tire tracks on the arm, and then when the bruises came up, it was really clear, like you can see the imprint of a tire, but the arm didn't break.
It's amazing that your satchel broke the blow.
Yeah. Yeah. The music saved my life, literally. It was a satchel full of sheet music. So when people say music saved my life, it's true. It did. I woke up the next day in the hospital. I had no idea that within a week I would be transferred to a nursing home, because I wasn't able to care for myself and I needed 24-hour care. And when I went to the nursing home, I guess I thought, you know, I'd be there a week or two. I had no idea, you know, that I would be there for weeks and months, and that when I was released from the nursing home, I was still going to need 24-hour care. And I just had no way of comprehending this. It has been a mess and it's been a journey, but also it's been an opportunity for me to experience kindnesses in the world and gifts that I never would have known otherwise. I mean, the way people showed up for me, and it wasn't always the people that I would have expected to show up for me.
Who were some of the surprises?
Well, when I came to in the hospital after surgery the next morning, there were people from the Windy City Gay Chorus who were already there. They fed me. They sat on the side of my bed. They cut my meat. They washed me, you know. And these weren't people, I mean, I knew these people because they sang in my chorus, but they weren't like close friends that I would expect to wash me. So that's one of the things that happened. Another one of the things that was really profoundly life-changing is I said earlier that I was at my best friend's house for dinner. This was a routine we had every Sunday after my rehearsal. I went straight to his house for dinner, and we had been best friends for years. But I was in the hospital and I watched him. He came to the emergency room even before I was in surgery. He was there the next day when I came out of surgery. And except when he had to work, he basically never left me for months. And I looked up at him from the hospital bed one day and said what I had been thinking at that point for weeks, and that is, I love you and I don't want to spend my life without you. And I think at that time he thought I had had too much pain medication, you know, that I had completely lost it. But now we're engaged and he lives with me and we're going to be married in July. And that's something that I can honestly say I wouldn't have been brave enough to say that to him or to make that happen if this hadn't happened to me. I mean, so as horrible as it is, one of the greatest gifts that I know in life is a direct result of that.
What other things are you saying that before the accident, before April 3rd, you wouldn't have said?
I think before then, I was much more focused on Paul Caldwell, the conductor, Paul Caldwell, the person, Paul Caldwell, the guy with the career, Paul Caldwell, the guy whose name was on printed sheet music because he wrote it. And what happened after that is I really became Paul the person. I care far more about spending time with people now, people who care about me and people who care about the world and care about other people. That's where I want to invest my energy. The other thing that I understand more clearly now is just the whole issue of scars. You know, everyone has them. And I don't think I really understood that before. I mean, I have a difficult time looking in the mirror when I take my clothes off because as much as we try to make me look, you know, like a normal guy, I really don't. And it's painful to see that. And it's just made me more sensitive to the scars that everyone has.
Are you talking about physical and emotional scars?
Yes, I'm talking about all the kinds of scars.
What music have you listened to along the way as you have healed your broken bones, gone through physical therapy? Can you share with us some of the music that has supported you?
Yeah, music of the world. There's a Portuguese singer named Dulce Ponch. And she's sort of inspired by the tradition of Fado, which is the literary equivalent of the blues in Portugal. I mean, the music isn't the blues at all, but it's all wearing my feelings on my sleeve and my pain is really great. That's sort of the overarching theme there. I love her voice. It's incredibly beautiful. I can't listen to it enough.
What was it like when you conducted for the first time after the accident?
Well, it was the Seattle Women's Chorus in October. That was the first time I went on stage. When I came to Seattle in October, I started conducting rehearsals, and at that time I was still in a wheelchair a lot of the time. I was really, really determined to walk on stage for my first performance. That was at St. Mark's Cathedral, and there's kind of a long aisle, the aisle that every bride dreams of. But me, as, you know, the dude who really can't walk very well, I was like, oh my God, that's a long aisle. So what I did was I asked these two lesbians, older women, who were sort of trailblazers in the marriage equality fight in the state of Washington. I asked them if they would each hold one of my hands and walk me down the aisle. And they did. They came to every single concert and they walked me down the aisle and then helped me up onto the podium. And then when it was time for me to leave, I would take their hand and they would walk me back down the aisle.
And you were able to use your arm.
There was a time when some movements I couldn't do, or it would take me longer to move my arm to the right than it did to move my arm to the left. And that doesn't really work in music because you have to keep a steady beat. So I just remember being thrilled at some point a week or two before the first concert when I realized that the arm actually moved again. There are some things I can't do with it. I can't scratch my ear, but I can conduct. So, yeah.
So the music that filled the satchel your head landed on instead of the concrete, do you remember what sheet music that was?
I could tell you probably every song. My chorus was rehearsing for a festival, so that's the music I had in my bag. My favorite song in there is a song by Ann Hampton Callaway called I Love You More, and it's a dialogue between a mother, Jane Clementi, and her memory of her son's voice.
The shadow of two sycamores reaching out across the floor, and in the half-light of my mind.
Her son jumped from the George Washington Bridge 3 weeks into his freshman year in college after being publicly humiliated for being gay. So that song was in my folder. Recently, I opened moving boxes that had been delivered straight to the office of the Seattle Women's Chorus and Seattle Men's Chorus, and I just started to cry, and the woman whose office is across the hall from me came in to see what was wrong, and the movers had taken that folder of those songs and put it in that box. And here I was in the office in Seattle finding the binder of songs that had been in that bag.
Will any of the music that was in that satchel and in the box that you later opened in the office, will any of that music be heard at your wedding?
Will any of the music be heard at my wedding? I never thought of that. Maybe it should be. Maybe it should be. I hadn't thought of it.
Let us know.
I will.
Seattle Women's Chorus will be performing a concert entitled A Woman's World. Performances start March 17th and run through the 19th at the Cornish Playhouse at Seattle Center. For more information, go to our website, knkx.org.